You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Friday morning to you. The 17th day of February. So good morning to you. Hope you're having a good Friday so far. And everything looks good. So anyway, let me tell you what we're going to do today. Normally on Fridays, we tend to have a... We try to lighten the fare as we head into the weekend. So we'll do that today. The All Marine Radio Chef in Chief will join us, none other than my hetero life partner, Kim Holmes. Yeah, the first time he ever said that, he said it live on the air. I was like, what did you just say? Wait a minute, what did you just say? What are we? I had to get out my secret decoder ring and find out what did that actually mean. So anyway, Kim will join us. And today, don't you know, we are going to talk about what will we talk about? We're going to talk about Italian food. Yeah. Yeah, so in our little food segment here, we're going to talk about Italian food. Primarily, we'll talk about marinara sauce. Yeah, how about that? Then Kim will give you his kind of slant on lasagna. We won't spend too much time on it. And then he's excited to talk about carbonara sauce. I think that's how you say it. So, yeah, big food day today as we... as we check things out. So excited for a little Italian food. Italian food, I would say if I had to rank what I like, I would be a fan of Mexican and Italian food primarily. Those would be my go-tos. Everything else behind there. However, if I was really honest with you, I would tell you that my mom's food trumps all, right? Like a good son. My mom could cook anything, and I would kick everything else to the curb. So being the good boy that I am, my mom's food always, always, always number one with me. And but Kim's one of the things I when I met him, and I didn't know him very well when, you know, obviously we first met, he was a big shot restaurant owner, and but we enjoyed each other, and so, you know, he invited me down to his place, and he's got one of those restaurants that he had, a lot of wood. He had these painted booths, and so I, and you could go in there in a pair of jeans, you know, or you could go in there in a suit, and you felt comfortable. You know, he loves art, so there's art on the walls. Loves sports, so you know, TV's up with sports on him and things like that. And so it's just, and it was a comfortable, cool place because he's kind of a comfortable, cool guy. So, and the food was good, but not hoity-doity. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So it was an awesome place. Probably my favorite restaurant in my life. If you ask my kids, same thing. My two sons both worked there. Both were dishwashers there. My oldest one became a busboy and a server there. And so, but Kim's food really is, very cool. And just tastes great. And very cool variety, and so love having him on. Talking a little food on a Friday. We're going to talk to a former Marine, Rick Caruso. You've heard him a number of times on the program, but you probably haven't heard him tell a story that he's going to tell today, and that is the story of how he gets out of the Marine Corps. Ultimately winds up working as a guard in the Corcoran State Prison in California. And then he gets done after he sees all the craziness involved in that. He gets done, and he gets, you know, involved in writing a screenplay, being a whistleblower, writing a screenplay, and then that gets made into a movie. So we'll talk about that. So Rick Caruso going to join us. Then the Gunners out shooting today. So a couple of my other cronies, the Montana guy, as you guys know him, the Montana guy will join us. And then another guy that you know, Rudy, Kurt Knowles is his actual name, but he is the F-18 explainer, official F-18 explainer, here on All Marine Radio. So, we'll check that out as well. So, should be a fun day here on All Marine Radio. You're invited to sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 3 hours as we go ahead and execute that. So, without any further ado, Whitney Houston, it's Friday, ushers in the national anthem. Good morning to you. I could listen to that like 3 more times right now. Honestly, I could, but I won't bother you with that. Colleen sings God Bless America, just to remind you what we're all supposed to be doing.
God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, wave us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Done, Dad. There you have it. No, I love that stuff. We'll check the weather now. Our weather, brought to you by our fans. How about our friends at Battle Mug, the home of the Battle Mug. check them out, battlemug.com. Promo code Marine, 15% off. Check it out. It's a quality event. You should own one if you don't. All right. So, having said that, check the weather around the Marine Corps here on a day when, in Southern California, it's supposed to be, supposed to get an inch of rain an hour. Yeah. Yeah, drought, maybe, not so much. All right. Currently in Quantico, 35 degrees and cloudy. Camp Lejeune, 52 and sunny. Granbury, Texas, where the gunner's going to go shoot, 52, partly cloudy. Up in North Dakota, 34 degrees up there, sunny, boom! 29 Palms, 58 and cloudy. Camp Pendleton, 57 and cloudy. Camp Smith in Hawaii, the home of beautiful weather all the time, cloudy and 72. Okinawa, Japan, 68, cloudy and dark. Dark in Hawaii, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Fallujah, 49, clear, dark. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, 58 degrees under cloudy skies. That is a look at your weather here on All Marine Radio on a Friday. So, you know, today's going to be kind of a therapeutic day. After the press conference yesterday, woo! Okay, let me just give you, I'll give you a quick take on the press conference. Some of it pretty crazy. Some of it, though, I think most people say, exactly. When he gets into CNN, and all you have to do is go to that website, and I mean, they're doing nothing but look, Trump, 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 Trump. It's, you know, it's all the all Trump website. So anyway, CNN though. And so to me, I think a lot of the country looks at that and says, hey, yeah, he's right about that. It isn't fair. And what's he supposed to do? And the whole thing about the leaks, he's right about that too. Okay. So again, he's the same guy from his campaign to his presidency. He doesn't suffer it well. And he's been doing this for years. He's been fighting with the media. You can see clearly it doesn't bother him. Question is, can he govern? And we will see about that. But I think a lot of people watched that press conference yesterday and shook their head and say, you know what? He's right. He's right. It's only about the hysteria. So, again, making heads or tails out of it is not the easiest thing to do in the world. So, we'll continue to endeavor to you know what? And my thing is, look, I get the news, I get the news from all over the place. I try to make sense of it. And I think I'm in the middle with most people in terms of trying to navigate it. What's spot on, what's not spot on, what's fair, what's not fair, and all of that. So I don't think it's the easiest task in the world these days. And it certainly brings to light the crisis that we have in the media in terms of, you know, they have a triangle that they have to serve. One is they have to make money. Two, they're supposed to report the news. Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, then three is they do commentary as well. So how do they do that and be responsible? We're seeing it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So we'll take a break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, where the Battle Mug starts out as a 10-pound block of T6 billet aluminum. Then it's milled, machined, and anodized, ready for you to make your own. A unique product. Each mug is serialized and built with Picatinny rails. All right, so you know what those are. Picatinny rail, all right? The rails on your M4, your M16, the rails you see on rifles. So with that, scopes, lasers, cameras, lights, all get mounted. Whatever you need as an operator, whether you're working in construction and outside doing stuff, whether you're out hunting for the weekend, all that works on the battle mug. And then you come home, you can take that stuff off. You can slap an American flag on it. You can slap unit emblems. They have a whole bunch of stuff that you can put on it to, again, make it your own. And so, yeah, you got that going for you. And then you can get 15% off. All you got to do is type in Marine, M-A-R-I-N-E, and get 15% off. It's a veteran-owned, Marine-owned, made entirely in the United States company and product. Boom. Perfect for retirements, special occasions, promotions, reductions. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. You get them reduced, give them battle mug, make them feel better. All right? Another special occasion. Right? Everybody deserves a battle mug, even guys who get reduced. They've got a drink, too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. My hetero life partner is coming on next, that being the one and only P. Kimball Holmes. We will talk to him about Italian food coming up next.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I've lost my touch yet.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The ladies.
23. On a Friday. Everybody being happy today. Joining me is Mr. Happy. This is an awesome video if you haven't seen it in a while.
I have. No, I haven't in a while.
It's people dancing and being happy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all over the... He does it all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny if you haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
And he seems like one of the nicest, coolest guys, which means he's probably not that. But I watched...
super cool.
Pharrell. I watched The Voice with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I actually like that. I like the coaching thing that takes place on it with young people. Anyway, younger people. Some older people as well. So, and he was on that. And he seems like a genuine, loves art, loves all kinds, and very interesting guy. Very interesting guy. So.
Everybody they have on there is great.
Did you watch it? Did you watch The Voice?
Beth watches it, and I watch it. Not as much as she does, but it's great, and it's really really good. They had a guy singing on from Minneapolis, this blues singer,
right.
A white guy.
Did you just say white blues singer?
Yeah.
I don't mean to racial profile. Sorry about that. White people, white people have soul.
I thought it was Barry White. That was 5 years ago.
White people have soul too.
Oh, I do.
They do. Come on, man.
I didn't. You're the one that said they didn't. I didn't.
I did say that. As a general rule, they tend not to, but every once in a while, as my dad used to say, the dog shines on the sun shines on a dog's ass. That's right.
That's even worse, Matt.
What? What? Here's my feeling about racial stereotyping, all right?
Yeah. There's no place for it.
Maybe at the airport. Okay? Okay. Maybe at the airport. My grandma doesn't need to be searched. Okay? And that metal going off when she goes through the metal detector, right? That's her artificial hip. Okay? So there's no need really to strip search my grandma. Okay? The people that tend to do this shit at the airport and stuff, yeah, they're not white grandmas, okay? They tend to be, you know, other people. So. I'm not saying, look, I think it's okay. Like, look, the grim reality is there are racial, I don't want to say stereotypes, but race is a part of some issues. Is that fair to say, Kim? Race is a part of some issues?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's as dramatic as you could possibly get.
Thank you. Thank you. See, I'm not a bad person. I just, you know, anyway. It's like, come on, man. Really? Grandma got to get wanded and strip searched? Well, you know, she said it.
At the airport, they have those machines you can walk through now with pacemakers and defibrillators.
Oh, really? And they ID them?
There, I had to announce I had a device in my chest. So they'd pull me over and take that wand and stick it everywhere.
I
found that really offensive.
Nah, let me tell you, man. I am I think I'm on the watch list for TSA. Because of my belligerent story. I go to get on a plane with my son. I can't remember where we were going. We were going someplace. We might have been going to New York City to see the Yankees. And And we wound up sitting in a restaurant, and then we had to go through security, and we missed maybe the first call, so we heard the second call for the plane, so now we're in a hurry. The guy says to me, he says, what'd he say? Can you take your shoes off? I said, do I have to? And he said, well, no. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to. And so I go through, and he goes like this, over here on the yellow footprints. I said, for what? He said, take your shoes off. I said, you told me I didn't have to. I said, I'm going to miss my flight. And so now he wants me, boop, 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 boop. Metal goes off in my chest. Did it. And so he says, I said, oh, those are my dog tags, you jackass. And so now I got to take my shoes off, and I'm fuming now. And he looks at me and goes, sir, you need to relax. You need to calm down. I'm like, this is bullshit, okay?
He's provoking you.
He is. I said, I've fought those guys. I'm not one of them. Sir, please calm down. I'm like, and Patrick looked at me going, don't do it. Stop it. Don't do it. I was so pissed. So anyway, I get my shoes and we get on the plane. And then it happens to me again. It was just something. I forgot I had two knives in my backpack that I take with me. And we're going through the airport. We parked the car. We're in there in plenty of time. We're going to go through. We get our tickets. We're going through the metal detector. And all of a sudden, he looks at me and he goes, do you have anything in your pack? I said, why? And he said, they're looking at it. I said, oh, yeah, I do. There's two knives in there. And he looks at me and goes, are you kidding me? And I said, nope, not one bit. He looks at me and goes, what? I said, I forgot. I had all these other things on my mind. I forgot, okay? Does that make me a criminal? And he looks at me and he says, it might. And I said, perfect. So long story short, I go over there, they get a form, they're taking pictures, is this yours? Can we see your ID? So I give my military ID, the guy looks at me, and he sticks his hand out, he goes, Sergeant Joe, you know, Benatz, United States Marine Corps, 1984 to 1986. I was like, what's up? And Patrick looks at me and goes, you've got to be kidding me. And he says, hey, sir, he said, how are you doing? I said, well, hey, look, I'm sorry. I said, those knives, though, have sentimental value to me. They've been with me to Iraq twice, so what's going to happen with them? He said, well, we got to photograph them. We got to document it. You've got to sign a form. And then let me get my supervisor down here, and then he's got to sign off on it, and then hopefully we'll get you your plane in time. And Patrick looks at me and goes, really? So guy comes down, another former Marine. I sign the paper. They get a cart for us. They get a cart, and we check the knives in a bag in a box. They check them through, so they're not with me. And then they give us a ride to the gate. And we're talking about the Marine Corps. One of them had a son in the Army that was in Iraq, and so.
Way to go, Mac.
So Patrick,
now, see, that's the kind of treatment you should get.
Yes, yes. So Patrick looks at me and says, "You've got to be kidding me." He said, you know, when they were looking at it, I thought, we're not going to get on the plane. He's going to jail. And we wind up getting a ride to the gate. I said, Patrick, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. He's like, Dad, he said, that was so funny when he stuck his hand out and introduced himself as Sergeant so-and-so. He said, and the next guy comes down and he's a Marine. I'm like, let me tell you. It's a good group, man. It's a good group, especially when you're in trouble. So I said, and the best part about the group is that we're not like a sissy group, you know. We're like a man's group in terms of we're out late at night. We're in bars. So all the places you're likely to get in trouble, we're probably there, okay? Because if it's a place where there's trouble that's going to bust out, you're probably going to find us there because we're curious people. He started laughing. He goes, He goes, that's awesome, though, Dad. He goes, I'm not going to lie to you. He said, that's awesome. So anyway, yeah, my trials and tribulations with the TSA. And I don't know if I'm on a watch list or not, but I got a 50-50 shot. So anyway, now, first of all, Kimball, how are you today? You guys are going to get weather in the 40s, right, pretty soon?
Oh, all day, all week.
Yes. So, you know, it's a good affirmation that the sun is used for something other than light, yes?
Yeah. And I know I was looking at the news this morning and realized you don't see sun now in Southern anywhere on the West Coast.
Oh, man. We got, like, issues, man. We got like, rain, drought issues. Drought, no more, man. We got dams having problems. We're supposed to get rain today to the tune of an inch an hour this afternoon.
Holy mackerel.
But, you know.
Oh, that's a lot of rain.
That's a lot of rain. But you know, the weather people normally are wrong, so hopefully they'll be wrong to the weak side, not like it won't be 2 inches an hour. The problem in California is when you get that much water, there's not a whole lot that holds it, you know. You know, between.
No, you're at the mercy of the rain god.
Exactly.
The only good thing that's going to come out of this winter for California and everybody else out there is that the reservoirs are going to fill up. At least make a big dent in the emptiness of them.
Oh, no, the drought's over in Northern California, and we get our water from them, so we're good to go. So then.
It's been how many, 6, 8, 10 years?
Who knows?
It's been a decline?
I don't know. And then it was really cramping the style of the people living in Beverly Hills with all that green grass. They were getting in trouble, man. They were looking at water consumption. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and
didn't they have they had guys that drove around in pickup trucks and looked for sprinklers to be on the wrong days and shit. I saw that and I thought, oh my God, California can't water the beautiful lawns.
Yeah, that's a problem, man. You can.
All I can think of, move to Palm Springs.
No kidding. They got it, but everybody, but now, and the problem that we'll have is the problem of flash flooding.
And the Oroville Dam, that dike thing, dam.
Yeah, you know, that was the kind of interesting thing to watch. They had a problem with an emergency spillway but the problem was they had warm weather, so the snowpack was melting and they were getting rain. What was coming in was making the dam rise in spite of them letting a lot of water out. And so that high water level, it hadn't been that high in I don't know how many years, but they thought that a part of the emergency spillway was going to go and that possibly, you know, not, and it wouldn't have been like, what was it, in Pennsylvania, Johnstown?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't going to be like that, but it would have caused the rivers to rise, a foot, two or three, depending on where the dam broke and how much water left. So again, all that's been mitigated. But the problem up there is you've got the Shasta Dam. You've got all these big reservoirs that are really full, and depending on what happens now, they're supposed to get more snow this weekend with this storm that's going through. And Mother Nature can be cruel sometimes, so we'll certainly pay attention. Email, Mac, what in the hell does this have to do with Italian food? Okay?
Baby.
Nobody gives a shit about you and being on the TSA watch list, and you ought to figure it out. Take your dog tags off, put them in the bowl like everybody else, and quit pissing people off. All right, so you're on the block list now.
Whoever sent that email, now you know what I've had to live with.
Oh, really? Now we're gonna play that card? I can't. Oh,
Mr. Hardcase.
Yeah, you can see how loyal he is. He jumped off at the first chance that he got.
No. Oh, no. You know, ragging on each other goes both ways. Brother.
What? No, it doesn't. Just so you know. All right. We're supposed to talk
exactly.
about. Exactly. Nope. Yeah. See, now he's out of his cage. We're supposed to talk about Italian food.
Yes.
I'm curious. If I had to tell you my favorite foods on the planet, Italian and Mexican would be at the top. For you, what would they be? Your favorite foods? Give me two of them. By nation.
Oh, carbonara, Italian.
Right.
And real tacos from Mexico. Not Del Taco or Taco Bell or whatever in the heck they call the chains out there, but a little mom and pop shop stand, pop-up stand, whatever, cart. They make, you know, like tripe tacos and homemade tortillas. Oh, gosh. Come on, man.
It's good stuff.
And they're just two little bites. They're so delicate, and they're so flavorful.
Right.
And, well, I try to make it three bites, but, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, you sink into that first, and you get a variety of type of tacos. They don't know, you know. In fact, the worst is ground beef.
But you know what? Even though those taste good, I can eat those all day.
Oh yeah, they do. But
no, I'm with you. I'm with you. When you
the hard shell.
No, I let me tell you, I eat them all. I'll throw all of it down.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
You look at me. No, I never refuse.
Hold on. Here's another one from the same guy. Already, enough already. Stop it. Talk to me about Italian food. All right, so marinara, let's start there. It's the basic, right?
Okay.
It's called the sauce.
The sauce, or some Italians call it gravy. But it has no flour in it. It's just the name. Italians call it its sauce. It's
okay, can I tell you a story?
Marinara.
Can I tell you a story about
sauce?
Can I tell you a story about it?
Meatless. What?
Can I tell you a story about it real quick?
Yeah.
So I went out with an Italian girl once, and so she told me. She said, "I'm learning how to do something I've never done in my life, and I've never done it for anybody." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I'm learning how to make the sauce." And see, I did not know like what that meant, like in the Italian culture.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Kim? So me being stupid, I'm like, "Oh, she's learning how to make sauce. Oh, that's great." Okay, what does it mean when an Italian girl learns how to make sauce and is going to make it for you?
You're in luck.
Okay. Yeah. What happens if you don't really understand it and you just act like it's nothing?
You're not going to be going out with her.
Who knew? I didn't know the significance of this.
Certainly, if she takes you home to meet her parents and you don't care or have a clue about the importance of sauce, marinara, in an Italian kitchen, you better go Asian
or exactly. So here's what I got. Did you not understand? I was making the fucking sauce for you. Like, what?
Yeah.
Who knew? I didn't know. I didn't know like the sauce was like a significant like emotional event. Yeah.
Oh,
I said, is that like nesting? Yeah, it's like this.
It's the basis for me, you know. You want to do a veal parmesan.
My bad.
You use sauce.
My bad.
You want to make lasagna. You use sauce. You want to make
anything.
Manicotti. You use sauce.
anything. Don't you know anything about anything? It's all about the sauce, stupid. Okay, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that's a quote, but it's pretty close.
Well,
oh my God! So hey, everybody learns. So I won't interrupt you. Tell me about marinara sauce.
Okay, marinara sauce. You take olive oil, butter, and onions, and you brown them for 10 minutes slowly. Then you add. I can give you the exact recipe. This is a very large recipe.
No. We don't want to.
We have it online. We sent it to you last night. Beth sent it to you last night. This sauce freezes, okay?
Ooh.
I'm just going to go over the tips.
Okay.
But it's a huge amount and of sauce, but you can put it in one quart containers and freeze it, or half quart, however you want to break it down. Now, after you brown those, the onions with the butter and olive oil, then you add the garlic cloves, parsley sprigs, and ground fresh black pepper.
Fresh black pepper.
Fresh.
Fresh.
You grind it.
Grind it.
And you can have one of those little coffee mills and grind the whole peppercorn, or you can put it in a pepper mill and then grind away. And then you cook that covered for 10 minutes. And what you're doing is you're sweating the vegetables, or you're sweating all that garlic, and you don't have it on high heat. You have it on low heat. Okay? Then you chop up bell peppers, red and green bell peppers, and you dice them up, and then you put them in the pot, stir it all around, put the lid back on for 5 minutes. Then you add crushed pear tomatoes and whole pear tomatoes, and you add that, and then you turn the heat up to medium heat, and you bring it up almost to boil, and then you back it off a little bit so it doesn't splatter all over, and you cook that from 40 to 6 minutes, and you stir it every once in a while, and just keeps everything mixed around. And when you cook with Italian food, you use wooden spoons, because then it doesn't flavor whatever you're cooking. And so you have a big, long wooden spoon that you stir all this in your kettle. And then you add tomato paste if you want to. But this should be a pretty, if you want it thicker, be careful with adding tomato paste, because it can be overpowering. A little goes a long, long way. Now, you have the recipe online, and I would follow this. This is the recipe I learned in 1971 from the woman I worked for in Italy. And you don't have to have the bell peppers if you don't like bell peppers, but that's the only thing you could leave out. Now, if you want to have a meat sauce, or sausage, however you want, you brown that meat, and then you put some sauce in that brown, chopped up sausage, beef, tripe, whatever. And that, just brown them and then throw the sauce in that you've made and you have set aside. You pull it out of the freezer the night before. You're going to do this meat sauce. And then, you simmer that, for about an hour. And you probably, might want to add, a cup of red wine or a little bit water because it, so it'll cook down in an hour, and you don't have it boiling. You just simmer it for an hour, and it tenderizes the meat even more, and the flavor gets into the sauce. So you have one basic sauce. You can go a bunch of ways with this one basic sauce if you're cooking Italian. And for lasagna, okay, we're going to slide into lasagna. I'm saving my favorite dish that I learned in Italy for last. Lasagna is layered noodles, and in the old days, you'd buy these ripple noodles about 2-3 inches wide in a box, and you bring them to a boil, and you cook them, not till they're mushy, but just so they're al dente, that means with tooth, and then you set them on a towel, and you dry them off, and then you make your layers with this. But now, folks, now they have dry lasagna noodles that you don't have to pre-cook, and they're thinner than the ones that used to come in the box, and you can just build your lasagna, and with these uncooked noodles that will cook, and it'll say on the box, uncooked noodles. Now, when I was running Sanders, we used a fresh frozen pasta sheets for our lasagna that were like 8 by 12 inches, and they come in a case of about 60. and they were just kick-ass, really good. But if you want to make lasagna from scratch, you have a little, depends how Italian you are or how knowledgeable you are about making your own pasta. That's a whole different program, and you have to roll it out, and that takes time. But let's just go with the noodles that you don't have to cook. You can buy them in box. And now, assembling a lasagna. Lasagna, you have to take about a teaspoon of olive oil. You put it in your baking dish that you're going to cook your lasagna in. You rub the corners, the sides, the bottom. That will prevent it from sticking. Then you put about 4 ounces of tomato sauce in the whole bottom of the pan before you lay your noodles on. And then you put a layer of noodles down. And you want them not to be open. You want them to touch each other. Maybe just the 1/8 of an inch overlap. And then when you get to the corner of your pan, it's square. It's the curved corners. So you kind of break that little tip of the noodle off so it fits in that corner. It's the pan's not square, just the noodle. And it's very easy to do. You'll see when you do it. And then you put whatever filling you want. You can put a little more sauce. I like to put a bechamel sauce down. That's something you make with, you make a roux, and then you add milk. And you want a thick roux.
Okay, we can't go down that. We don't have enough time to go down that rabbit hole because you still got to do carbonara.
I was just saying.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You, whatever you're going to put, your layer of veggies, meat, you put it on there. You sprinkle some sauce and dollops on top. Then you put more noodles. You repeat this dish. Then you top the dish with the third row of noodles. And you sprinkle a little. You spread tomato sauce. And then put Parmesan cheese on. And then cover, put in the oven. The last 20 minutes or last 10 minutes, you take it off, the top off, and you brown the Parmesan. And then you let the lasagna sit for about 10 minutes on top of the stove so it sets. So when you cut into it, everything doesn't run out the side. Now you're going to, I didn't say this, but of course each layer you want to put cheese, mozzarella cheese grated or fresh mozzarella slices. And that's it.
Okay. Carbonara.
And that's
what, give me, what is, what's the secret to good lasagna?
The secret to good lasagna is the sauce.
Okay. All right, no, there you have it. Invest in the sauce.
And it, you know, you can go straight veggie, which my wife does.
Right.
You don't have to have veggies. You can go straight meat. That's another thing. You can mix and match whatever you want.
We love that. Okay. All right, let's talk about carbonara.
Carbonara.
What is it?
It is spaghetti noodles that have been boiled. That, well, you boil those in water, but not before you have your water boiling. Then you drop your noodles in. For each person, you add one egg yolk. Okay? And, but, into a stainless bowl. And you whip that egg yolk, until it doubles in size and gets a pale yellow. And, but in a separate skillet, like a cast iron skillet, you add the garlic cloves, the bacon diced, the Italians use salt pork, and then you add the garlic, you saute them. First you cook the bacon until it's just about crisp, and you leave the grease in there. You throw in the diced garlic, and then you brown that off, and then you put a little extra olive oil if you need it, and you set that aside, and then you take your egg yolk, like I said, one per person. You whip it till it's frothy and doubles in volume. Then you pull your pasta's been cooking. While you've been doing that, it'll take 8 to 12 minutes. Spaghetti is what I like to use. Now, then you take your hot pasta, you drain it, and you immediately dump it into that stainless bowl, and you toss it with your wooden spoons. You toss it so the egg covers all the pasta. The heat of the pasta will cook the egg, so you have these little beads on your pasta. And then you add this mixture that we have cooked earlier, the bacon, the garlic, and the olive oil,
right,
and a little bit of the bacon fat. You toss that, and then you mix lots of cracked black pepper and Parmesan cheese. And the better the cheese, you want Reggiano Parmesan, okay? You want real imported Italian cheese for this dish.
Got it.
Because it makes all the difference. And you grade that up, and you sprinkle it liberally all over, and then you serve it, and you eat it immediately. Now if you want to Americanize it.
Hold on. I've got an email. Hey, Mac, how stupid are you? How did you not know when an Italian girl tells you she's making the sauce that that's a big deal? Are you culturally stupid, insensitive, or what? That guy was.
Is that the same person?
No, somebody else. They're
a lot of love out there today.
They're Italian, though. You've got to be kidding me. When the Dago women make the sauce for you, you're done. That's what she's telling you. And you were just a dumb Anglo and had no clue. I was. I didn't. Who knew? I'm making the sauce. I'm learning how to. My mom. Listen. Here's the quote. My mom's teaching me to make the sauce today. Oh, hey, that's good. Anyway, you know the 49ers are on and.
Blah.
I was culturally ignorant, okay? Come on, lay off me. All right, we need to finish up the carbonara. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Now, if you want to Americanize it.
No, we don't.
No.
Well, do we
want? I'm going to tell you how to do it, because when you go out to a restaurant and you order carbonara, you're going to get a cream sauce. Okay? And I don't know if the other stuff is in it, but you're going to get a Parmesan cream sauce.
Okay.
But that's not the traditional way to make carbonara. And that's it. And if you want cream in it, you bring some cream in a saute pan to a boil, and you whisk in a tablespoon of Parmesan cheese, turn the heat down, and that'll dissolve and melt. And then you put your spaghetti carbonara mixture that you've made separately into this cream sauce, toss it, and serve it. And that's it. And that's it. So,
that's it.
That's my favorite recipe, because for me, not being Italian until I started working there in Italy, was spaghetti and meatballs, a red sauce meatballs and overcooked spaghetti noodles. And to see a dish like that where there's no red sauce.
Hi, Jim.
Oh, hello, Colleen. Hello. How have you been, sweetheart?
She's out the door. She was leaving for school. She wanted to say hi.
Oh, good.
All right. I didn't mean to interrupt the Americanization of a great Italian recipe.
Yeah. She's a goddess. She's a goddess. You're a lucky man.
She is. She is, Colleen. The all right, now, do you have those recipes written out?
We sent these two recipes to you last night.
Last night? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Hold on. Go over, Debbie. I don't see them, so I don't know if I didn't get them or what.
I'll take pictures of them and send them to you.
Yeah, you will.
I'll try.
Yeah, tell Beth. Thank you.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Bye.
You were supposed to get them last night.
No. We'll throw them up as soon as we get them. But they're to die for. I can tell you, I've had the carbonara, and it is muy delicioso. So, by all means, send that our way, and we will go ahead and we will go ahead and post that. So, but the lesson of the day is what, Kim? When an Italian girl says she's making sauce,
you embrace it. You say, "Oh my gosh, I love marinara sauce. I love it. I can't wait. What are we gonna put it on? Yeah. How are you gonna serve it?"
You're supposed to go look for a ring. When she puts you on notice that she's making the sauce, you're supposed to go look for a ring. Okay, that's the way that works. If you don't figure it out, then
you know you're hooked.
You don't know. That's right.
If you don't want, you do what you do. Think, well, I gotta go watch the 49ers.
Yeah, that's good. Let me know when you're done.
If she doesn't finish the sauce, she'll burn it.
Yeah, and then throw it at you. No,
make you eat it.
Oh,
that's even worse.
Even worse.
Throwing it at you.
Hold on, one more email.
And then you'll sit there and eat it and say, "Oh, this is great, honey." Bullshit.
One.
I'm out of here.
One more email. Mac, I'm sitting here laughing, coming from an Italian family. It's like listening to somebody who's from outer space. How could you not know? Okay? The when the girls with the frizzy hair and the big asses, when they make the sauce, it's a big deal. Okay? It's a big deal. Hey, wait a minute.
I believe it is.
How did you know she had frizzy hair? The
let me tell you a trick.
Yes.
When an Italian girl makes sauce and she's finished it and just it's been cooking. You go by, you rip off a piece of French bread or whatever big bread. You go by the kettle and you dip your bread into the sauce right in front of her and eat the sauce. Oh, honey, this is great. Crazy.
Bellissima. Is that how you say it?
You might as well just drop your
trowel. No, drop the wallet.
Drop, well, that's a foregone conclusion. You're going to drop the wallet. But if you do like her and you want to impress her, then you dump some bread into the sauce before she serves it.
Compliment
and
the
say,
sauce?
Oh, this sauce is delicious.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And she'll think you know what you're talking about.
No, you don't.
Like you're making more than SpaghettiOs.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with SpaghettiOs. Come on, man. I've had a bunch of them. All right. All right. Kimball, first of all, thank you for the education on marinara sauce, on lasagna, and carbonara. I'll tell you what, for the people who love Italian food, that and good wine and some bread, there's nothing better. So thank you very much, and we'll get those recipes and get them up. And I certainly appreciate your not only your wit and wisdom, but also your culinary expertise this morning.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
And probably next week we're going to talk fish.
Fish?
Fish.
All right. We might have to do a little follow-up to the Italian thing because I've got a couple emails here. But anyway. All right.
Well, I can talk Italian for a month.
All right. Maybe we'll do Italian.
How patient are you?
All right.
You know.
All right.
I can talk pate and stuff like that. I'll give you my special pate recipe.
No, we love that. We love that. Of course we do.
Yeah.
All right. You have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
All right, brother. All right. See you later.
There you have it. The culinary master, P. Kimball Holmes. More of Almond Radio coming up next. Rick Caruso going to join us. Richard Caruso. I don't know if he goes by Richard or Rick. I call him Rick. Anyway, we'll ask him. But Rick, a former MP in the Marine Corps, then made his living as a guard in the California prison system at one of the most violent prisons in the nation, Corcoran State Prison in Central California, where he crossed paths with Charles Manson and the like. So it gives you some sense of what kind of clientele they had. And so Rick's journey from MP to California prison guard to whistleblower to movie maker is an interesting one. So we're going to talk about that journey coming up next as a Friday edition of All Marine Radio continues right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.